Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. I'm an alumni of this wonderful institution. My name is Jenny Dent Brandt, and I'm honored. You can go ahead and sit down. I'm honored to introduce our guest speaker today. For those of you that do not know her backstory, she is the daughter of Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. In 1956, her father and his comrades were speared by the Aka Indians while they were attempting to get to know them, to share the gospel with them. Several years later, Valerie, her mother, and Rachel Saint, through open doors only God could open, would actually live with those same Indians to minister the gospel to them. It was Life magazine that carried both of these stories, the men dying, their act of forgiveness, and it was heard round the world, and it helped to propel the modern missionary movement from 1956 even to today. When I first met Valerie, I was amazed how alike we were. She grew up in the jungles. I grew up in Washington, D.C., in politics. And her husband looked at me and he said, "Oh, Jenny, yes, Valerie grew up in the jungles with savage Indians, but you grew up in the jungles of Washington, D.C., with a lot of savages." And that's probably true. Valerie is here today to not only carry on the legacy of her parents, but she and her husband, Walt, have their own legacy themselves. You ready for this? The mother of eight children, all homeschooled. Yeah. Woo. A pastor's wife. And Walt and Valerie were missionaries to the Congo. Now, she does have books for sale at special student pricing in the foyer when you leave. She has a smattering of her mother's books. She does have one video of her mother telling the story, if you don't know the story, of Through the Gates of Splendor, of what happened in 1956. She has many books of Let Me Be Woman by her mother. She has Suffering is Never for Nothing. And she also has her recently released book, Devotedly, which takes the love letters her parents wrote to each other while they were dating, and it shows their devotion to God first and then to each other. So would you please welcome the jungle child, Valerie Elliott Shepherd.
Good morning. I am very thankful, and I feel it a great privilege to carry on my father and mother's legacy. But you know, after my mother died in 2015, I was trying to prepare the memorial service, thinking of how amazing and wonderful she was, and wondering how in the world I could give the credit to God as well as to her, because she so followed the Lord closely, loved him with all her heart, and I felt overwhelmed by how I could present that when so many people idolized her mother, my mother and my father. And of course, we can't idolize anybody. But my husband reminded me, as I said through tears, I can't carry this legacy. My husband said, "It's not your legacy to carry, it's Christ's." And I want to emphasize that, because I can do nothing without Christ. Nothing good. And I want to share the story little bit by little bit, because I only have 25 minutes, and I'm one of those people that likes to give details to every part of the story, but I can't today. So if you have not read or heard of this story or even know very much at all about it. Through Gates of Splendor, Ginny mentioned the video, but the book my mother published in 1958 tells the story of the five men who were killed by the people who are now called the Wai'udani. And so I want to share some sort of surprising quotes that my father wrote in his journal before he went to Ecuador. My father and mother went to Wheaton College in Illinois, and they both loved the Lord dearly and both thought that they were called to be single missionaries on the field. My father had his eyes and heart set on South America and to primitive Indians. My mother wasn't sure, as college went on, whether it was going to be India, Africa, the South Seas, or South America. They fell in love with each other the spring of my mother's senior year. Unfortunately, but fortunately, of course, because my father was determined that God had called him to be a single missionary. But he started studying Greek with my mother. They were both Greek majors. And toward the very end, before she graduated, as they took a very long walk, he confessed to her that he loved her, but he didn't think God was calling him to marry. It was a pretty hard, heavy weight to suddenly hear for my mother. And they sat on a stone bench in a cemetery in Wheaton, the town. And as the moon rose behind them, and my father said, "We have to die to our feelings," because they were both very well aware that they did have strong attraction to each other. My mother would not respond to my father when he said, "I love you," because she had heard him say that he was to be called to be single missionary. But as the moon rose, the stone cross behind them on another tombstone, the shadow of that cross came right in between them as they sat on that stone bench. And my father said, "We have to die to our feelings. We have to live for Christ alone." So for 5 years, they carried on a correspondence, no texting, no emails. 1948 to 1953, they wrote letters, and they only saw each other 5 times in 5 years. Only 2 of those times were any length of time. One was 10 days, one was 2 weeks. The rest of the time, they were very short visits. And they, of course, were more and more convinced each time they saw each other that somehow the Lord might bring them together in marriage. But they had to wait on God. They had to wait and wait and hold on to Him and His word, and wait again and wait on God. Is He worth waiting on? Absolutely, He is. And our feelings and our humanness do not want to wait on God. They really wanted to tell God the plan for their lives, which was, we love each other, therefore we have to get married. But as Jesus is written about in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. They endured the suffering of not knowing whether they would get to be married, the suffering of not seeing each other very much in 5 years, only writing letters, and sometimes letters are misunderstood. Sometimes they were very well understood. At one point, my mother was quite upset and disgusted with my father's behavior, which she had heard about from some college friends. And my father wrote in his journal, "Live life to the hilt in whatever situation you know to be the will of God." He also said, "Wherever you are, be all there." He had a wholehearted zeal for God's glory, as well as a zeal for making people laugh, having people admire him. There was this tension in his life. Oh Lord, keep me quiet when I know I must hold on to you. And other times wanting to be fun and funny, which he was. He was kind of the big man on campus at Wheaton. He was also quite brash in preaching to people and telling them that they should not date if they were students at Wheaton College because they should be working to be approved unto God for that AUG degree. And yet, the spring of my mother's senior year, his junior year, they were starting to study together. And the only date they had was they went to Moody Bible Institute to see and to be at the World Evangelization Conference. Wherever you are, be all there, but make sure that you're all there for God's glory. He also wrote, most Americans don't need a call, they need a kick in the pants. Maybe God has given to many Americans, as he gave to the Israelites, ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see. Because my father was so disgusted with the apathy and the laissez-faire attitude of American Christians. I hope that you students are here to be all out to serve God. Wait on where God takes you. Wait for one day at a time. You cannot know a blueprint for the next 2 years, sometimes even the next week. But wait on him. I think of this verse specifically with my father in mind. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust or the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. My father and four other men went with zeal, with excitement, with joy to meet the Wai'udani. Back when they lived, they were called the Auca Indians, and Auca is a Quechua or Quechua word for savage. The Aucas were known as naked savages, and they killed just about everybody who came into their territory. He said in his journal, I have covenanted with the Father that he would either glorify himself to the utmost in me or slay me. He wrote several times in his journal that he thought he might have a short life. And he said, Lord, light these idle sticks of my life that I might burn out for thee. He wanted to be broken bread as Jesus was broken bread and poured out wine for us. Have you come to the end of yourself where you recognize there's absolutely no good in you except what God has put in there? There's absolutely no good you can do if you don't abide in him. We are dissipated on non-essentials in this culture. There is so much available on the internet. You know how easily you get distracted from the task at hand. I know it too. But he wrote this, Father, let me not be dissipated on non-essentials. Sublimate, put down these huge hungers to the obedience of Christ. Above all these things, I would have holiness, though at that moment, he was thinking, I don't have the power of holiness just now. But let me not err, make a mistake in feeling. Teach me the path of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So my mother and father continued to pray for where they were to go. The Lord brought them both to Ecuador within 2 months of each other. They both had to study Spanish for 6 months. They were, of course, together in Quito, Ecuador, doing that for 6 months and very, very happy to be together. But still, my father said, within a month after her arrival, I think the Lord might have us wait 5 more years. Can you girls imagine, after 5 years, hearing that from the man you love? She would not say she loved him because her father had taught her brothers that you don't tell a woman that you love her unless you are ready to ask her to marry you. So she would not say, I love you. She said, you have no claim on me. My heart is given to Christ. I will go where Christ wants me. The Lord led her to Ecuador 2 months after my father got there. They studied Spanish together. They hiked mountains, 12,000 feet mountains. And God said, wait. As they went to 2 different places in the jungle, my father went to the eastern part of the Amazon jungle, easternest of the Andes. My mother went to the western part of the Andes to a very small tribe called the Colorado Indians, and she had to work on writing down the language, which had never been written before. And my father had to learn Quechua as he worked among Quechua Indians with Pete Fleming, who was another single man that he had strongly suggested he break up his engagement in the States, because if he was coming to Ecuador to work among Indians, my father had heard that women couldn't handle the Amazon jungle. So Pete Fleming broke up his engagement because of my father. It was quite upsetting, of course, to Olive, his fiancée, and to her parents. They loved Pete. They knew that he was a committed Christian. But anyway, God brought these 5 men together: Pete Fleming, Jim Elliott, Roger Udarian, Nate Saint, and Ed McCulley. Ed and Pete and my father were Plymouth Brethren background, and they believed in waiting on God and listening and sensing his will. And so they gathered together to plan to meet these Wildani. And Nate Saint figured out a way to drop a bucket attached to his plane, a little 54 Henry, and flew over the jungle until he found the Wildani, the Alcas, and he began to drop gifts. And he'd take one of these men with him on each trip. So for 15 weeks, they dropped gifts to the Wildani. The Wildani began to happily receive the gifts. They called the yellow plane the would-bee, a bumblebee, and they thought it dropped gifts out of its stomach, but they replaced gifts with pet parrot darts from their blowgun darts that they used to kill monkeys and birds, a clay pot, a roasted monkey leg, which they ate quite often. Are you willing to go somewhere where you might not want to like, might not want to love it living there? My husband and I went to the Congo for 3 years. We actually were in the States most of our 44 years of marriage. We were in the States, but for 3 years we went to the Congo. And I didn't like Kinshasa, a huge city of about 17 million people. But God sent us there. It's not about our likes. It's not even about how well we feel, whether we have air conditioning or not. Have you given your body and your soul completely to God? All lock, stock, and barrel is the old expression. Everything. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Are you living all out for Christ? Are you living with joy because you know His will is perfect? It's acceptable. It's wonderful when you are being obedient to Him. Well, life in the jungle was glorious once my mother and father got to be married. They went across from the two different points they were on each side of the Andes to meet in Quito. My father asked her January of 1953, five years after they had started falling in love, to get married. They got married on October 8th, 1953, which was my father's birthday. And they were married for only 27 months when the five men were killed by the Wayodani. They actually were able to land on a beach within a few hours' walk of where the Wayodani lived. The first visit with the Wayodani, three people came out. There was a happy welcome, but there was not much understanding. There had been three phrases my father had learned from an Alka woman who had fled the tribe several years before we got down there, or he got down there. And God showed him how to imitate these words, which were, I don't know the phrases myself in Alka, but they meant, we want to be your friends. We want to come see you. And the day before they landed on the beach, Nate Saint learned the phrase, come to the Kurarai, which was the name of the river that they lived closest to. And so these Alkas arrive after my father had built a prefabricated house, a tree house, and they were planning to stay there indefinitely. And there was a first friendly greeting, happy meeting for several hours. And so the wives gave glory to God for that. And then 3 days later, all the men were speared to death. They didn't get to tell their testimony. They didn't get to speak the language. But as my mother and I got to move in to live with this tribe, and I'm 3 and a half, I was 10 months old when my father was killed. At 3 and a half, I come into this Alka village and I learned the language and played with the Alka children, wanted to be naked like they were. My mother said after a few months of letting me be naked, she said, well, we're Americans, Val, we're not gonna stay naked. She wasn't naked, but I certainly wanted to be. My mother learned as she sat in an Alka Wayodani hammock that they made beautiful hammocks, as she said, Lord, what am I doing here? Am I doing any good? I'm more of a liability than I am an asset. And God gave her these verses from Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses that you may know and understand that I am He. I forgot the word believe. You may know and believe me and understand that I am He. So her life was continual obedience, as my father and mother had been obedient to first work with the Quechuas, and then my father got the opportunity to go with these other four men to meet the Wayodani. You are my witnesses wherever you are, right here, at Walmart, going to South America, going to Africa, wherever you are His witnesses, but He's teaching you about Himself as you learn to serve, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. So in the jungle, I was perfectly happy. My mother spoke the truth to me. She was loving. She was joyful that we got to go and live with these Indians who had decided that they would accept us and love us. And we had a very happy 2 years living among those Wayodani Indians. They said, when they understood from Dayuma, this woman who had given my father these phrases, when she came back to the tribe with us, they said, we did badly, badly. They didn't have a word for sin. We did badly, badly. But now we're walking on God's trail and Jesus is building us a house in heaven. Very simply, they accepted the truth. They knew there was a creator God. They didn't know that God had sent His son Jesus. They were happy to believe in Him. And it was quite unusual for a very primitive tribe to accept the truth like that. So we lived happily. We ate roasted monkey. I ate flying ants. I caught little fish with my hands that were little armored catfish that we pulled off of rocks. They had suction mouths, and then we'd roast them and eat them whole. I was absolutely in an idyllic paradise for a little kid. And the Lord protected us from very poisonous snakes, poisonous scorpions and tarantulas and all kinds of caterpillars and wild boars and pumas in the jungle. And God kept us safe. We went back to live with the Quechua Indians when I was six years old, and we stayed until I was 8 and a half when we had to come to the States, my mother said, because I needed an American public education. So I give glory to God because of those 8 and a half years in the jungle and because my mother's life was one of obedience to God. And she asked my dad right before he left, she said, "What will I do if you don't come back?" And he said, "Teach the believers, darling, teach the believers." So for 40 years after that, she continued to teach the believers in her writing and in her speaking. I give thanks and praise to God for such parents. Of course, I didn't choose them, but I hope you'll be able to read at least one of my mother's books, or Devotedly, which is about their love story. My mother gave me my father's letters, and then I surprisingly found my mother's letters in her attic when she thought they had all been destroyed. So God bless you. Seek him. Wait on him. Be ready to die to self, because that's what Jesus did for us. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.